Hey, friends. There's a few dates in particular coming up, which I'd like to see as many 12 and a half as possible in the next few months. March 15th and 16th, I'll be headlining Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. April 5th, I'll be at the Last Best Comedy Club in Bozeman, Montana. I'd love it if we could get some 12 and a half in the crowd for those particular dates. And the first week of May, I'll be at the MGM in Las Vegas. Be fun to party with you there. TJ will be in Syracuse February 16th and 17th. Raleigh, North Carolina, the Improv, March 8th and 9th. And if you want more details about his dates, go to tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com. And enjoy the show. Thanks for listening.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Answering the questions you don't have. Deep conversations in the shallow end. Two men with lots of ideas and less than an hour. Intelligent-ish. This is Cashing In with TJ Miller.
Hey, friends. This week, I'll be in Sacramento at Laughs Unlimited. That's May 10th through 12th. TJ will be at the Stardome in Hoover, Alabama, May 9th through 11th. We will both be performing in Alaska next week. So get on a ship and come see us. That's May 16 and 17 in Anchorage at Coots. On May 18th in Fairbanks at the Blue Loon. It'd be good to see the 12 and a half in Alaska at the Blue Loon. We will both be in Indianapolis performing together at Helium Comedy Club May 30th through June 1st. And you can find TJ's other dates at tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com. Thanks for listening.
Oh, you really won that one. You won that one.
It is so fun to just sit and hold our breath in competition.
Yeah, we did. We're doing a breath holding competition again.
It was a great idea, and it's a good thing we both know sign language, because it was a great idea you had during round 74, where you signed to me. You said we should do a podcast, and I signed, "You're just trying to fucking get me to stop holding my breath," and you signed, "I'm not doing that at all."
Should we?
And then I signed, "Hey man, I know a trickster when I see one. You sir are a trickster," and you signed, "I don't know if that's how you sign trickster," and I signed, "Don't tell me how to sign," and then you signed, "Look, I'm sick of this. Okay, you're constantly talking about how sign language is more your forte than mine, and I'm just absolutely abhorrently." And then
it is.
You had gesticulated so much in signing that you had
not
to breathe in.
Not a gesticulation. Not a gesticulation.
And then you had to breathe in.
And you know what?
You lost that because of how
I may have lost that. I lost the battle, but I may have won the war, because I was signing in 7 different languages. Did you notice that?
Again, I just don't think the Zimbabwean signing that you are purporting
to
know.
I don't think it's appropriate.
I don't know that it's not real, but I think the clicking, the kind of...
You think I'm perpetrating
all that stuff?
While I'm holding my breath?
I don't think that translates to sign language doing this. Just doesn't. I just don't believe that it's true.
So that was the longest time we've held our breath. And that, should we release that episode? It was just an entire episode of us holding our breath. Should you think we should release that?
I just don't think people like it, because it was just minor grunts.
And the sign language doesn't work. You know what? The sign language doesn't work as well. Yeah. There's.
That was almost exclusively what I did during that episode. Yeah. I just don't want that out there.
I think there's two things that people love about our podcast: breath holding and sign language.
This is my new version of the falsetto.
Do you get that? I just sign language the falsetto.
I did notice that you were holding your hands high up in the air. Sign language falsetto. You have to stand. You stood on a chair and you put your hands up in the air, and you didn't wave them, but you signed like you just didn't care.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to have to. What's our record so far? Because we're going to have to break our all-time record at the end of this episode.
I mean, do you think it was like 2.5 somethings?
It was a lot. It was a lot of seconds. There might have been seconds, even minutes, days, even hours, milliseconds. There was a lot going on.
I think there were several epochs that turned into eons and back.
There was a lot going on, and I'm just good. I'm glad to see you, buddy. So much to talk about. So much to talk about with you. First of all, we work together.
Every time I see Cash,
we work together.
So much to catch up on.
No, but we do, though, because we don't get to see each other.
We've got a lot to talk about.
First of all, TJ.
It's one of my favorite things that you do. We got a lot to talk about. We spend about, 20 minutes of catching up that we could be doing with you telling me we have so much to talk about, a lot to catch up on. There's a lot going on.
That being said, when everyone says that being said, are they ever going to give you good news? Is it ever going to be that being said?
Oh, we talked about
you
that, right?
Don't get the job.
Yeah. Now that being said,
you did a great job. That being said, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
Yeah. You're right. Hey, look, you came in here, you worked hard, you got everything done that you needed to do. That being said, got you an ice cream cake!
And you're balloon like, drop.
Balloon drop. But did we talk about doing a reverse balloon drop with helium?
Well, okay, I want to talk about that, but I want to tell you
have we already talked about that? That might
I don't think so.
Reverse balloon drop is a tarp on the ground.
Yeah.
And all the balloons have helium.
Go up.
And so you take the tarp off and all the balloons go up.
Yeah. And it's not really that old because they didn't even have, you can't say the old reverse balloon drop because it can't be that old.
They had helium for a while.
Helium, yeah. But
balloons?
We did a great practical joke on April on the April Fools. My kids and I took a bike ride. It was the perfect practical joke. We called her. We go, April. I go, April, come out on the deck right now. We're over the house in a hot air balloon. Come out right now.
It was April 1st.
Yeah. And so she runs out onto the balcony. And I'm like, we're right above you. And she's like, I can't see you. I'm like, we're right above you. And I didn't explain. I told the kids, they were on speakerphone. They're like, Dada, can she see us? I was just yelling. But I was like, don't. And Chance at first wanted to be like, let's explain how we got into the hot air balloon. I'm like, no, the less explanation, the better. Right? Because we had gone on a bike ride for like 2 hours and just all of a sudden we're in a hot air balloon. It could happen, right? We're right above you. And she's like, I can't see you. And then this person walks by our house on the sidewalk and she was like, said to April, it just bummed me out so much. She goes, because we could see her and hear her. She goes, you do know it's April 1st. So she ruined the entire thing. Because I was going to get her to go down to the water, side.
Well, I thought
and, like,
it would be funny if you released a balloon, or all of you were holding on to a single balloon.
Yeah.
But that is, how horrible is it?
What kind of person just ruins that joke? And then afterwards she apologized. She was like, I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't have said that. Well, yeah, you probably shouldn't have.
Because you definitely shouldn't have.
And, we were in the middle of a great con.
You know who says that? Somebody that no one cares enough about to play a prank on. Lots of people, it's April Fools, and they must go through the day being like, is anyone going to play a prank on me?
Yeah.
Has anybody thought about me enough to play a prank?
Yeah.
Mine with Kate was just terrible.
Did you do one?
It was terrible.
Okay, what was it?
So I was flying back, I think all the way from the West Coast. It felt like it was a long flight. And I said that because of some sort of mechanical failure, we had to land in Pittsburgh. And that I just didn't see any way that I was going to get to New York that night. Now, I was at JFK. What I should have done is just waited
to do the joke until you're right out. Outside the door.
Yeah. Just get home.
Yeah.
And come in. And I don't know why. I think my April Fool's game just hasn't been that strong the last couple of years. I just go, oh, babe, there is something that the airline told me that I want to pass on to you. And she goes, what is it? And I go, it's April Fool's. April Fool's! And she goes, oh, God, I thought. That's not very clever. But then she kicked my fucking ass because I got back, and then we went out to her father's house, which is in Long Island.
Yeah.
And we get all the way out there, And we get to the house. It's this whole, you know, great drive out there, but it takes about 2 hours. And we got out there, and it's really the first time that we had ever been to the house. And her father wasn't there yet. We were going to sort of set it up for her. And then we got there, and she just suddenly, her face just drops, and she's like, oh, my God. And I go, what? She goes, I left the fucking keys on the counter at home. And I was like, no. And she goes, April Fool's.
See, that's a good one. A quick one. And you want to be with the person and see them when you're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to do it on the phone. Yeah.
Yeah.
April Fool's is one of our best national holidays. Do you think it should be a day we get off?
Yeah, I think so.
To give us a little more time to really...
To plan the prank.
Yeah, to really... But that would remind everyone that it's April Fool's.
Exactly. The problem is part of what needs to happen with it is that nobody really mentions it.
Mm-hmm.
But you also got to think of things that are plausible and could happen. I just couldn't come up with anything more sort of devastating.
I mean, the best April Fool's joke in history, as far as I'm concerned, is Sid Finch. I told you about that, didn't I?
No, but you know what? For once...
Yeah.
Let's mention the greatest story.
Yeah.
And make it be the greatest story never told.
Yeah. It's the best one. No one's, well, actually, this one people have heard. It was a Sports Illustrated.
I don't think the 12 and a half need to hear this.
Okay. Well, no,
so
but
let's move on. We're going to move it right along to
you got
to
hear this
a
one.
Section called Where Were You?
I got to tell you about it. It's
I was in a hotel in Omaha, Nebraska, irritating Cash Levy by not letting him tell the Sid Finch April Fool's story. And it was
Look
a great
it up.
Time.
It's the best it's, ever.
Well, you should tell it.
It's yeah, it's you're doing the holding your breath. Let's do a Where Were You? We did work together in Boston.
Well, tell us now. We've got to hear this.
Sports Illustrated on April Fool's Day put out an issue. And back then, Sports Illustrated was a big deal. Each week it would come out and people would wait for it. There was no internet, the whole thing. This is how you got your sports news. And on their cover, they had a guy who was pitching for the Mets. And there's basically the story was there was this pitcher that threw, 110 miles an hour or something. He played a tuba. He one foot, pitched with a boot on. Like an army boot, and the other foot was barefoot, and he was going to be the best Mets pitcher of all time. They found him in India or somewhere, and his name was Sid Finch, right?
Sid Finch. And
thousands of season tickets were sold to the Mets because people got so excited about this. I mean, people lost their minds. It was a George Plimpton article, I believe. And it was hilarious. And you read it and you thought it was true. And they didn't reveal for like 3 or 4 days or something that the whole thing was false. And people went nuts. People were buying season tickets to the Mets. People were like, the odds changed in Vegas for if they were going to win the World Series or not. I mean, there was a lot going on. Yeah. It was the best practical joke in the sports world ever. And the pictures of him were so, it was such a funny story. Here, He plays a tuba, right?
They say that he's
playing tuba, and he was this really eclectic guy, and he was like into Buddhism or something. And they look at this picture, Sid Finch.
This is
fun. It was the best. It was the best.
I mean, what's your best practical joke that you ever done? That one was pretty good.
I don't remember all of the other ones. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, it was his best story. Let's see, Sid Finch. I gotta find a picture of him. Here we go. So I want to, as we're doing this, I want to talk to you about Boston because you showed up in Boston and you forgot your trombone. Look at this picture of him. Look, they have him out on the beach.
This is a story that you're going to enjoy. Let's see.
They have him out on the beach pitching. Look, he's got an army boot on and but they say he threw like 100-something miles an hour. It was like the fastest pitcher of all time.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, they just discovered him. In some other foreign land.
Which one did he look like? That's him?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They had pictures of him like on a camel. I mean, like it was part yogi, part baseball player. And it was just people lost their minds. They got the curious case of Sid Finch. People lost their minds. Look at this.
What does that say there? This is great. He's a pitcher, part yogi, and part, what's that say?
Recluse, I think.
Yeah,
maybe.
Deceptively liberated. Decisively liberated from our edible lifestyle. Sid's deciding about yoga, and his future is baseball.
And the Mets fans just went crazy. They were anticipating.
Because the Mets are kind of traditionally a shitty team, right?
Well, I don't remember what year it came out. I don't know if they had won a World Series yet or not, but, you know.
The Sid Fidge hoax.
Yeah, it was the best. Anyway, okay, so you show up. You had forgot your, you have a joke in your show
here's
now.
Here's the saddest thing. Yeah. So I had my trombone. I didn't get my trombone. They lost it. So that's okay. I said, can you deliver it to Kate's father's house?
Right.
So they send it up, and, you know, it's just so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. So I said, send it up there because we'll be there, and then I don't have to worry about getting home to then – I could go straight to, from Long Island to to the airport. So I did that. They sent it up there. So the trombone was at this house in Long Island.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, great. It's great. And then we take – so we have a great – we have the most incredible weekend. One of those weekends that you really are happy you're married, because there's certain experiences, certain things – certain weekends often that are so good, you want to be able to remember them with that person for the rest of your life. If you'd done it with somebody you were just dating,
right,
be a bummer, because eventually maybe you'd break up and you'd have no one to celebrate that. But it was just so fun, and Kate was so excited, and she was on steroids. And I don't know if you've ever been around Kate on steroids.
I haven't had that experience.
Yeah, no. She was like allergic maybe to kava or kratom, which are these two like natural root drugs from
the South
Pacific.
Yeah.
So she had to take steroids.
You like her on steroids?
No. They go crazy. I took them at one point. You get angry. You feel like you're crawling out of your skin. I had to convince her to drink rum. I can't even tell you how many conversations as of late is me saying to Kate, have a glass of wine. And she's like, no, I don't think. I'm like, trust me, of all the experts on alcohol, I can tell you, this is a time when alcohol, because I look at it as a sort of medicine, just like anything else, some sort of like marijuana or anything like that. Yeah. It's a depressant. It has it's a natural thing that gives a psychoactive response. You know, there's a chemical response to it. So finally I got her drinking rum, and she did. She chilled out, slowed down. It was this great thing. We didn't sleep a lot. So then I got in the car to go to the airport, got to the airport, you know, got on the plane, was excited about everything. I'd packed all right, you know, I'd been with a big suitcase. And then as I'm starting to land, I think to myself, oh, and this is in Boston. So I'm playing the Wilbur Theater with you, which is 1,100 seats. There were about 998 people there. And I thought, okay, well, what am I going to do? Because this is a big show for me out of the year, not only because it's a large theater, but much more than that, it's the best theater to do comedy in probably in the world. Didn't you think? I mean, in terms of like, in terms of you were at a theater, there were 1,000 people.
It's a great combination of a theater with a bit of a comedy club feel. So it had both, which is rare. It's rare. It wasn't as stiff as a theater.
Right. People, they have tables and they go and get drinks on the lower floor. And then the top two, there's two balconies.
And they were very casual. It wasn't as stiff as a theater.
No way. In fact, Cash wore a tie and a sport coat because he said, you know, how often do you get to perform in a theater? I want to look nice. He does not wear those things at comedy clubs. Right. And then halfway through his set, he took off the tie.
coat.
Yeah, the coat. And you're like, you know what? This is just...
I'm going to have to strip down here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take off my clothes because this is just was the wrong way to do it. Which I thought was pretty great because they didn't start off as a super... They're not a super warm crowd in the beginning. I had forgotten that. Yeah. They're not the easiest crowds. So they didn't start out being super generous or giving. But you're just such a consummate professional that you kind of got them where they needed to be and then took off your damn tie and fucking killed. It was great. And so as I'm landing and thinking, well, what am I going to do for this important show? I go... Oh my God, I don't have my trombone. It's still in Long Island. And I'm like, how the fuck?
And Kate's there too. She was supposed to come.
Yeah, all right. I left Kate. No, she's with her father at this point. I'm going, how the fuck could I forget my. I've been traveling all over the world with this trombone.
With the trombone.
I've been traveling in Scandinavia with one bag in one hand and a trombone in the other. And now suddenly I just forget that I'm always carrying a trombone. It's not like a smaller suitcase. It is a trombone case.
Yeah, some people lose their key. That was the first thing I said to you. You called me, and you're like, I have to go get a trombone. And I said, well, this is the kind of thing, of many things that happen to you, that could only happen to you.
Yeah,
and
I told you, people go,
I said, I really think the career needs to get to a point where you have a trombone waiting for you in each city. Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be just the mark of true success.
But then, you told me that, and I said, well, I don't think I can do I don't know that I can keep doing the trombone. I have to retire that eventually. And then I realized, no, because it's the conceit of it is that somebody in the audience plays the trombone as a rim shot to my one-liners, and I can always change the one-liners.
Of course. There's no reason to stop.
Yeah, so maybe
plus,
you're getting
better at the trombone. You did a little concert for me one night, and it was pretty impressive.
I don't know how impressive
it is. Name That Tune.
Yeah, maybe. All right.
It was the same tune over and over again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you
I was able
it.
To name
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you were able to name it. And subsequent games, you've done very well, to be honest with you. And so,
knowing in advance that that's the one song you can play.
But it's real, too, that I'm dealing with this sort of venue manager, this incredible girl who to text her and to go, hey, I need your help. I quickly need to find a trombone because I was landing the day of.
Yeah.
And she said, well, Guitar Center has one. I called Guitar Center. They don't have them. You can order them online, but they didn't have them. So I finally found a place, shout out to Virtuosity Music, that did have them. And I guess she called them. And when I got there, they told me that was one of the funniest calls they'd ever received. But I called and I said, do you guys have trombones? And they said, yeah, what's your flavor? And I said, I don't care. Do you have trombones? You do?
Did they really say, what's your flavor?
Yes. And I said, doesn't matter to me, but you have them. And do you have used ones? And they said, yeah. And I said, great. Because they had gotten me, originally I asked for a trombone on the Canadian tour, and they went and bought me one. I remember them saying it was like $75. It was like $85 for just a used trombone. And I go, that's great. You know, I'll just go and I'll spend $100 on a trombone and then I'll have a backup trombone. So I get there and this is the nicest fucking brass and woodwind shop in the world. It has 100 trombones, French horns, all of it. And I go in there, I say, hey guys. And they're like, did you just call? And I go, yeah. And so then I go up to the different stuff and I'm looking at stuff and I pick up that one horn. I go, what is this? And they go, that's a flugelhorn. I go, oh my God, I should get a flugelhorn.
That's what Chuck Mangione played.
Is that real?
Yeah.
I mean, I only want to get it because the word flugelhorn is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I say, oh, like, yeah, maybe I'll have a trombone and a flugelhorn because it's not that hard to play. It's got the three valves like a trumpet.
That's
how they get you because
they lure you in with the trombone and you're out. You're walking out with a tuba, a French horn, a flugelhorn.
And a goddamn
set. A cornet.
A goddamn set of xylophone in your pants. To try to get out of there
without. It's a scheme. That's how they get you.
It's a scheme. So I said, how much is this flugelhorn? They said $2,500. And I said, what? And they go, yeah. And I go, do you have any used ones of these? And they go, that one is used. And I just go, oh.
Yeah.
And then I think,
ouch. Ouch. I did not know that.
I just went,
that's smart.
Not ideal.
Not ideal.
Not.
That smarts.
It did smart because then I said, oh my God, how much are these fucking trombones going to be? So I said, well, do you have any trombones? And he said, yeah, you got a little bit more leeway there. It's like, okay, thank God. And I said, how much is that one? And he goes, this one is, and I said, you know what, just what's your cheapest trombone? And he goes, well, this one's $600. And my dick just about fell out of my fucking mouth. I didn't know I could.
Which is where you keep it
$600 for a trombone? I can't play the trombone.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, well, this one's $500, but it has the valve keys.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, that's confusing. I don't know what the hell that's going to be about. Yeah. And part of the trombone of it is that anyone can play a trombone once I teach them.
Right.
Because the only way that you change the notes is by moving this thing back and forth. So I said, oh, God, you know, and the guys were really nice. They go, hey, man, you know, it's a lot, but you're really upgrading. This is a great horn. It's got a great sound. It's from the 1950s. And I kind of was like, if I get these guys tickets, will they give me some sort of discount? But I didn't even think about that until I paid for it. And also, there is a component of it, which is kind of like, Kate made this point. But like ballet shoes, like point shoes, you don't go in there and say, well, can you do any better on these shoes? Because they're like, no, someone else will buy them for this.
Yeah.
Like you don't, someone's going to buy that trombone and it's a trombonist. But they said that it was the funniest phone call they've ever gotten because they've never heard somebody say, hey, I have a performer that's headlining the theater tonight and he forgot his trombone.
Right.
Because to them, as musicians, they both were saxophonists, but as musicians, how could you ever forget? That's the only way.
Yeah.
It's also not forgetting your guitar because you're a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
It's forgetting something that in your performance, you're not able to do anything else except play the trombone. And you played the trumpet.
I played trumpet, but there's two things I want to say about this. One,
but so imagine to them, they're going, you forgot your trombone. And I was like, yeah, I did. So now I have this really nice $600 trombone and I'm going to keep that as my backup trombone. But the trombone I have works just fine. And the case is on its last leg. I mean, it's been around the world.
Yeah.
And I've got stickers all over the case, which is so fun. But it's kind of on its last leg. And the case for the nice trombone is really cool. So I got to buy another case. So it's just very frustrating.
But have you found, in terms of the Kate aspect of this, and I find this with my wife, her name's April. Oh. And if you spend, I have a great practical joke I played on her about this balloon thing.
You know, anyway, you know what the best part of the practical joke was? I didn't tell you. My best April Fool's practical joke this year was I hired a surly older woman to go up to your wife and say, you do know it's April 1st, right?
That was a good one. Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Yahtzee,
motherfucker.
Checkmate. what I love about April, and it sounds like Kate does this too, if I spend some money and I feel terrible about it and feel like this is the dumbest purchase I've ever made.
If you're about to have sex just to have children at a restaurant, is the quickest way to ask for the bill and ask if it's time to have intercourse, just say, check, mate. Check !! Mate ! Do you want to mate with me? Can we get the check? Shall we mate? Check, mate. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to try that one, but
I mean, you got to tweet a lot.
I think the best thing is
when
when I spend money and if I ever spend money and I feel bad about it, it's nice to have someone to say it's okay. And give you some reason why it's okay you spent that money. Does that happen to you often with her? Sounds like she made you feel better about spending money on that trombone.
I mean, she said, look, you know, these
things this is part price of doing business, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, she said, you know, babe, this happens, you were really tired. And she did kind of say, like, now you have a great trombone. It is an amazing trombone.
April will bring up things that other people have spent money on that's even worse. She'll be like, you know, the Johnsons bought a yacht and they can't even sail. So don't feel bad about that price of the hotel room.
It is that so kind of interesting. Like, you know, you're always trying keeping up with the Johnsons.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? You do have those friends, the Johnsons, that are just always spending money that they don't need to spend.
Awesome that you were able to do that. You care enough about your show that you're willing to spend $600 for about a 5-minute piece, right? And I think that says something about you.
It's pretty dynamic.
We care that much about putting on a good show.
I had an interesting moment last night where, first of all, I asked you to do 20 minutes, and then I didn't have them light you until like 25 because you're just doing so well. And it was like there's such great crowds out here.
Oh, they're fantastic.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's better than Houston.
Omaha. They have a really warm vibe here.
They're cool, they're funny, they're smart, they're kind of hip. They're the hippest people in Nebraska.
And you feel very peaceful on stage. You don't feel like at any moment it's a great crowd, definitely.
Great, great crowds. And I also wanted to take some time to get ready, get in the right headspace. But I was trying to get off by 9:15 to do the VIP, which I don't like to rush through at all because if you're paying to meet and take a Polaroid and that stuff, I like to, you know, everybody needs to have a moment and I want to have a moment with everyone. But I was timing it out so that we could go and have some wine at this restaurant that was going to kind of stay open later than they usually close, but just for us. And that's always exciting when you find a good spot and Colleen, who owns the club, officiated Cade and Mai's wedding. She officiated our wedding, so we're very close to her. So I just thought that would be a fun thing to do, you know, because we don't always get to go places that will sort of, it just, a lot of things lined up. But I checked my watch a couple times, and I very quickly realized, I said, you know, these people are not going to get the full show that I want to give them if I just get off stage and try and do it for what, to get some wine, with Cade and Colleen and you probably weren't even going to drink wine because you're always playing this hot air practical joke, hot air balloon practical joke.
Yeah, I thought it might have, well, and I also thought it might affect my, holding my breath.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Again, with Cash Levy putting the H in wine. What was that one?
That's a triple banger lightning round.
Oh.
You didn't see the sign?
Let's do it together. Ready?
Triple banger lightning round.
Okay, this one's about alcohol-free beer. They sell it. Alcohol-free beer. Shouldn't it be called alcoholic beer? Since mainly the people that are drinking it are trying to... Only alcoholics are drinking alcohol-free beer. It should be called beer for alcoholics or alcoholic beer.
Well, alcohol,
who else is drinking
alcoholic
it?
Beer would imply that it's beer with alcohol. So that's just beer.
Okay, so it should be beer for alcoholics?
Which has a great ring to it.
Yeah, it's not great, is it?
No, I think not alcoholic beer, I'm afraid. All right, ready?
Okay. This actually was a masker someone sent me, but I thought it would make a better triple banger. It's by Max Z at A-Hole Sour.
Right, I love it.
Which I love. You know, I like to call people A-Hole Sours. My kids think it's a normal part of our vernacular in America. They'll be like, he was an A-Hole Sour. You know, they say you love your kids more than you love yourself. And I love my kids more than I love myself, but that's not saying that much because I don't really love myself that much.
I don't care for myself.
In fact, I mean, I like myself, but I'm not ready. I'm not ready to have a relationship. I mean, I'm kind of.
I don't think you should be having a relationship with your kids.
With myself, I'm saying.
So you're saying you don't love yourself. Yeah. What if you really are self-loathing?
Do any of us? I'm just saying it's not that saying that much to say I love my kids more than I love myself. Most people don't love themselves that much. In fact, that's most of our problems come from us not loving ourselves enough. Most people are barely at peace with themselves.
I think you love your kids unconditionally. And it's really hard to get to that unconditional self-love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the smartest thing I've said in 2.5 years.
You know, that makes me want to just hold my breath, right? Yeah, Max Z at A-Hole Sour writes, which song would you least like to be danced to at your funeral? Now, first of all, I don't know if I want people dancing at my funeral.
I don't like
people that hot.
Why are they dancing to you?
Yeah,
all I can think of with that one is
I'm not going to be.
You're in a casket, Max, and everybody's sort of dancing up on the casket and dancing to you.
Max.
Just grinding on the side of the
I'm not going to wanting people to dance, and I'm not going to be willing to dance back. I'll be not alive at that point. Anyway, the question is, which song would you least want people to dance to at my funeral? The Macarena by Los Del Rio, Cotton Eye Joe.
Yes, I don't need to hear
by
any.
Redneck.
I don't need to hear any other.
No, there's more. YMCA by the Village People.
Cotton Eye Joe.
Or a compilation of Cash Levy singing Take It Into the Tweets.
Jesus. I stand corrected. No, you know what? It's still Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah.
Because first of all, I'll be dead.
Yeah.
And second of all, people would look so stupid dancing to a compilation of your taking it to the tweets. But Cotton Eye Joe, that one was one that Kate and I loved when it was popular. And now we just think it's nearly the dumbest song in the world. It's still funny.
Yeah.
But I don't want people doing those moves. There is like a dance to Cotton Eye Joe. I don't know.
I think Cotton Eye Joe was an April Fool's joke that just...
It's this, you know what? It's the Sid Finch
of
musical history. Right, exactly.
You know, I told you on a recent episode, I did send out an Evite to my funeral, and no one has RSVP'd. It's, you know, I don't know if that's a
compliment. Did you use Eventbrite?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
You definitely do not know what that is, no, but you didn't even pause to even consider the idea that you didn't know what it was. But I think the one thing a lot of people don't realize about Cotton Eye Joe is that Joseph Conrad of Lincoln, Nebraska, when that song became popular, he was ecstatic. It was basically the best thing that ever could have happened to him because ravens pecked out his eyes the year before, and he stuffed his eye sockets full of cotton. And he was absolutely shunned by the village of Lincoln, Nebraska. People didn't want to talk to him. They found him horrifying. Then the song hits number one on the charts. Suddenly, everybody wants a piece of cotton-eyed Joseph Conrad, now known as Cotton-Eyed Joe.
Cotton-Eyed Joe.
A long time ago.
Hey, I'm gonna move it around now to an essential question of human nature.
Not move it on, not even move it forward, but move it around.
I think the first, do you agree that sneezing feels good? Especially the first time, the first sneeze.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The first sneeze feels great. And I don't understand why people are
the first sneeze, it aims to please.
Why are more people...
Second sneeze
the second, I
doesn't
think it
come with as much ease.
It doesn't.
The third sneeze will bring a strong man to his knees. That's, the fourth sneeze, oh geez. And the fifth sneeze, ha ha ha, cracker please. Why don't we say cracker please?
I think there are a lot of good reasons why we don't say that. I think there are a lot of good reasons we don't say that. I think there's legitimate reasons
Why did we never appropriate cracker?
Cracker, please. We don't embrace cracker.
Or just
cracker.
To say, what's cracking, cracker?
We don't embrace cracker.
How you doing, cracker? Yeah. I'm going to start calling
you. We don't introduce, cracker. Hey, cracker. We don't say that to each other, do we?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You can't, you wouldn't want, a black person can't call a white person a cracker. That's not okay. But if two crackers are talking and it's like, cracker, why don't we go crack a like a stack a couple jackets? Yeah! Because crackers are always stacking jackets. A jack stacking is a crack a like a jack stacker that you just can't get a knacker for.
What I'm saying is the sneeze, this the second sneeze and the third, it has diminishing returns. The first sneeze
the
feels good.
The sixth sneeze, it's you painful. Start to wheeze.
It becomes painful.
The seventh sneeze, you blow yourself right up into the trees. The eighth sneeze? Oh, that one you need a liaison for.
I was curious how far you could take this.
The ninth sneeze, you start making tees. T-shirts talking about t-shirts. The ninth sneeze. Right, exactly. And the tenth sneeze? Hell, you don't just check into the hospital. You sign a lease.
Why aren't people
having sneeze? Okay. Going to make your pants crease, like pleated.
Yeah.
And the 12 sneeze, whoo-ees.
That one works.
The 13th sneeze doesn't end up rhyming because it's an unlucky sneeze. He's the 14th sneeze.
You've burned so many, I can't think of any now.
That is. That's the one we've nicknamed John Cleese. It's the Monty Python of sneezes, you know? The 15th sneeze, by that time, your head's no longer cheddar, it's head cheese. The 16th sneeze, well, that's a sneeze. Technically, sneeze rhymes with sneeze. I think it's fair to say that if you use the word that you're rhyming with, it still technically does rhyme.
It does rhyme. You're always disappointed when you hear it in a song, though, when they're like, they just use the same word twice to get the rhyme. But it's not as disappointing when they go, ooh, ah, they just try to, they rhyme it with just a sound.
And the 17th sneeze, well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just that much of a tease. Mm. The 18th tease. The 18th tease is actually a sneeze.
The 19th
Oh, come on, buddy. The 19th sneeze? That rhyme. The 19th That's a breeze.
Sneeze you better not do when you're on a 19th tease. Tee. No, wait, teeing tease. Off. Like teeing off in golf.
In the 19th tease. No, the 19th sneeze, that rhymes a breeze.
Yeah.
20th sneeze.
Time for some Febreze.
Yes!
Yeah.
That's a stinky those sneeze. Peepers. Grab some Febreze for those peepees.
For those peepers. Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised.
I like Febreze those peepers. I think surprised. That's my favorite catchphrase.
Why aren't people combining sneeze with sex more often, you know, purposefully? Do people do that?
They are. You know, I think that somewhere they said it's a tiny little orgasm. It's,
okay.
It's chemically about the same.
Okay. Okay.
As an orgasm, a sneeze is just a very small one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you surprised that the Sizzler and Shakey's, those two establishments, still exist? Are you? Because every time I see either of them, I'm like, they still have that?
Well, Chuck E. Cheese's, it makes sense for it to stick around. Shakey's Pizza is kind of an institution in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But Sizzler is a very strange...
How do those two places still exist?
Thing. I mean, there aren't any Sizzlers. There's a Sizzler in Los Angeles, but there's no Sizzlers... I haven't seen a Sizzler. They're all Longhorn Steakhouse.
Shakey's doesn't even deliver, does it? It's like the only pizza place, I think, that doesn't deliver.
Oh, now I know what you're talking about. Yeah, there's Shakey's Pizza around. It is a weird one, right?
It's weird. I used to... I was telling my kids this, and they were shocked because it was a different era.
Little Caesars is really making a comeback.
Used to get... a few times I'd get kind of, you know, expelled from school for the day, you know, in elementary school.
Sure.
And they sent me home. And I would just go to the Shakey's.
I think it's just they sent you home. You don't get expelled for the day.
Yeah, for the day. Yeah. Sent home for the day.
Yeah.
Expelled for one day. And I would go to the Shakey's.
Expelled from the school. I'd go to the Shakey's
and just play video games. And my parents never knew that this was happening. They never.
Really?
That's how like casual it was. It was like, go home for the day. And I didn't live in like the country or anything.
And why was it? Did you?
I don't know. If I got in trouble over stuff, I was probably kind of disruptive about, you know, just sort of
trying to make people laugh.
I always had different. It's like my own kids. There was always I always had a soccer ball, a baseball. There was always balls probably involved. I have so many balls in my house, even with the kids now. They always are finding
throwing balls,
playing with balls, and you know you're supposed to have them inside, that kind of stuff. So they'd send me home, and I'd go to Shakey's.
I mean, this begs for a balls joke.
Can you imagine that now? Sending a kid home and not knowing where he ended up, and just he goes to Shakey's? Could that still happen?
Oh, so you're saying they would just say, get out of school, and they didn't know how you were going to get home.
They didn't know.
On the bus.
They just assumed I'd walk home, I guess, but I didn't walk home because I didn't want my parents to know, and I'd go to Shakey's instead.
How far away was the school from your house?
About 3 or 4 blocks.
That is crazy that they didn't call your parents.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah,
you got a lot more casual. Video games.
A lot more casual back then.
Yeah.
We don't have much time. We got to be holding our breath in a second here. We got to finish it up with some maskers.
Okay, I'm excited. Do you want to tweet-alize one of my tweets, though? I did a tweet that I think you...
Okay, yeah. Tweet-alize. Tweet-alize!
Until they think of a better name for it, this is Tweet-alize.
That's we have a working title. It's called Tweet-alize, but some people call it Tweet-it.
I can't believe I just got myself into falsetto, but it's my own hubris because I wanted to. That's pathetic.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion tweets tonight. Ooh. TJ writes, when I see dust making out with garbage, really Frenching, I yell, get a broom! Is that really happened? That's great.
See trash and garbage, or if I see like two pieces of trash sort of mingling in the street, I go, get a broom!
We've talked about this. If I see people making out in the forest, I say, get a tent.
I know. I mean,
you know,
both those things are probably things we should never do again.
We should never.
Kate's been calling me an old. She recently called me the old bag of peanuts.
Is that
it? That was really funny. And then she laughed so hard for so long.
Yeah.
And now she insists that it's funnier to call me an old peanut bag. And I still think an old bag of peanuts.
Yeah, I like
is
bag
funnier.
Of peanuts.
What do you think?
I think bag of peanuts is
peanut
is good.
Bag is still funny. But yeah.
Greg Zilla writes, "How do I throw away a trash can? I keep leaving it by the curb, and the garbage men keep leaving it there, thinking it's a trash can."
Well, you got to put it in a larger trash can.
You had a eating contest with Greg Zilla after one of the shows. I think where was it? Was it in Richmond
yeah,
or somewhere?
Great.
Yeah, it was a pretzel eating contest. Again, this is just one of the moments. This is why I like doing some of these road dates with you. Something unexpected often happens with you.
Oh,
and I walked out. I opened the door to the green room. I walk out, and you're doing a pretzel eating contest with someone in the crowd who was in the 12 and a half. Greg Zilla. So that was cool. Here's one of my favorites. Adam Metropolis writes, "I'm recusing myself from these pants. Hot or not?"
Hot.
I like that.
In this political climate?
It's a very classy way to say I'd like to undress now.
Kate said, "Whip it out. Let me see it." And I said, "Okay, but I redacted this dick."
And that's what you said. You're an old bag of peanuts.
Yeah, you old peanut bag. I've been calling her an old bag of beans. Tyler Gustafson writes, "Hey, at Cash Levy and at Not TJ Miller. My girlfriend wants to know why there's an afternoon, i.e. after 12 p.m., but no after midnight. Perhaps the moon needs more respect."
Yeah, I think we've established that completely. The moon gets not enough respect.
Tyler kind of does all these great maskers,
really,
but yeah, I think after midnight would be nice.
It should be after
midnight. Let's have an after midnight snack or an after midnight nap.
Yep.
You know what an after midnight nap is?
Yeah.
Because you take an afternoon nap, that's 3 or 4 hours. After midnight nap, that's a full 8 hours sleep.
That's
you
a
wake
sleep,
up for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So sleeping is just
an after midnight nap. I like that.
That should go on catchphrase. That's a good one. All right. And then I want to do some others of his, and you guys should follow him. He's really funny, but he's only got 14 followers right now. He's about to have more when I follow that ass. You know what it is, Tyler Gustafson, day-to-day. I take a day-to-day. What percent of selfless acts are selfish?
Well, a lot of people think that everything we do is for selfish reasons.
Yeah, Ayn Rand says all of them. I say...
I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters why you're doing things. Yes, you do things that are unselfish and makes
you
feel good about yourself.
It doesn't matter the motivation, is what you're saying. As long as it's altruistic, even if you're doing it because you want people to know you're altruistic or whatever. I think that's real. I think as you get older, you get a little bit less selfless.
Even if you were to give up your life for somebody else, you might be doing it so that you didn't feel bad later about not doing it.
Yeah, or that you wanted to be known. I mean, that's a lot of people that go to war and die. Mm-hmm. It's because they want to die a hero.
Yeah.
Courageously on the field of battle rather than...
Well, there's going to be a lot of talk about this kind of thing when they're playing Cotton Eye Joe at my funeral.
That's
and
right.
Dancing.
After you died on the battlefield, holding your breath against the fucking Germans in World War II. Three, four. This isn't a maskers, but he says, kids have a higher metabolism than adults, yet their meal sizes are smaller. Seems like a bum deal. Agreed.
Wait, say it again?
Kids generally have higher metabolisms than adults, yet their meal sizes are smaller. Seems like a bum deal.
Yeah.
It is kind of true that if you're a kid, you should eat a full pizza.
Yeah, you're right. You should start getting those kids to eat more. Ghost and Tokes writes, most appropriate location for a standing jack. In the shower, waist deep in the sea, over a lucky baseball bat, or anywhere in a Best Western? Where is it best to have a standing jack? I mean, I think the most appropriate place is often, I guess, would be a shower, you know? But I like, my favorite one is a lucky baseball bat.
Really?
Yeah.
What about a Best Western? Best Western's pretty funny,
That's the funniest one, but I like the
baseball say it again. Bat. Say it one more time.
Most appropriate location for a standing jack. In the shower, waist deep in the sea, over a lucky baseball bat, or anywhere in a Best Western.
Oh, my God. I didn't totally understand the standing jack. Now
anywhere
really
anywhere is in capital letters. All the
anywhere what?
Anywhere is in capital letters.
Or just
anywhere.
Anywhere.
in a Best Western. So that include, would that include the lobby?
That'd be a lobby.
In the lobby, because that would be inappropriate.
That would be over the Lucky scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
Not the Lucky baseball bat.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Best Western's pretty funny, like I said.
It's the funniest
one. I think the ocean is pretty hilarious. I mean, you pee in the ocean.
Yeah, we do a lot of other people things in the ocean. That's true.
Poop in the ocean.
That's true.
Shit in the ocean, which is terrible. I don't think that's okay. I think the ocean should have the same rules as pools for that reason. You can pee in the pool, but you can't take a turd in there. And
you can't pee in the pool. You shouldn't pee in the
ocean. The ocean, the chlorine helps it. But so the ocean is also whipping everything that's in the sea to the shore. So you're essentially letting a turd, letting the ocean burgle your turd and whip it at the people on the beach. And I, as I've mentioned, I've told the story of puking in the ocean, how what an amazingly wonderful experience that was.
I listen, if you're... If
that was one of the greatest experiences of my life. I really, I'm going to go down in history. I really did. Puking in the ocean is really something.
The bottom line is, if you're going to do it in a Best Western, it would be more appropriate and more classy to say, I will now recuse myself from these pants.
I will now recuse myself from these pants and jack from a standing position, sir. He said at a Best Western, madam, sir, now that you've checked me in, before I go to my room, I'd like to have a quick standing jack anywhere I want. And they go, anywhere? And you say, all caps, zip.
Hey, we gotta get out of here. I'd like us to do
let's hold our breaths. What I was gonna say is a standing jack in the ocean. That's pretty funny, because you're also braving the salt water getting in your urethra, which is also the name of my second album as a singer songwriter who forgot his guitar. I had to buy a new flugelhorn. Wait, sorry. Before you do anything.
Yeah.
So we're going to hold our breath until the next
episode. Yeah, until the next episode.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.